Welcome to Heartland Darkland. I'm Cassie.
And I'm Shannon.
Hey, Darkhearts.
What's up?
Welcome back.
Here we are again. Coming at you coming at you from fall weather. Yeah, yeah.
I love it so much. My windows have been open. My husband came up to bed last night and the window was like wide open. He's like, have you considered the fact that you feel the way you do because you are sleeping with the windows open? I was like, I 100% know that's the reason, but it's worth it.
Yeah, and I actually don't care. Thanks.
I don't even care. I will be phlegmy and coughing and I don't care because I love to sleep with that cool weather. I have a child barging in. Okay, mommy's recording the podcast now, okay? Go watch your show. Thank you. Just barging right in, you know.
It's fine. I forgot. There's no school for your kids today.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's been fun. So we'll see if that stays in. It probably will. Mm-hmm. She can just barge in for a second. She brought me a bead. Don't know where from. But yeah, so I'm like, I don't even care that the weather is making me feel this way. I will sleep with that window open 100%.
I love this weather. It's like perfect. And yeah, I'm excited about it. I like the cool temperatures. I'm currently having to wear a giant boot on my foot because I am very clumsy. We don't even need to get into that other than the fact that I'm glad the weather is what it is while I'm wearing it, because the first day I got it, it was like 100 degrees and I thought I am going to die.
Because that was Tuesday, right?
Correct. Yes. I was like, this is the worst thing ever. Like my leg just felt sweaty and hot. I'm sure that's really appealing to everyone listening, but at least now it's kind of like keeps my leg warm. So there's that.
Yeah. I had a client on Monday who was pregnant with her first, and she's due in January or February. And I was like, both my kids are January, February babies. I was like, you're going to be, and she runs hot like I do. And I was like, you're going to be so grateful that you're at your heaviest when it's freezing out.
Yes.
It's just going to suck when you have birthday parties.
Yeah. That'll suck every year. And your kids will hate having winter birthdays, because I know I do, but you know, it's fine.
It's fine. It's fine. 100%. And also, you guys, I know it's funny because we just talked in our last episode about how we're procrastinators. We're recording for the second time in 1 week.
Yeah. Days apart.
Yeah. It's, you know, priorities. I have to get my eyelashes filled on Tuesday. And I was like, there's a lot going on Tuesday. I don't know that I'm going to make this work. Priorities.
That's way more important anyways. So it's fine.
I mean, I love our podcast. It's just a matter of like, I clearly can be ahead of the game. We now see.
But I mean, yeah, this is amazing. I'm like freaking out now because I got to get my next one ready, but it's fine. Cause
the thing is we have
2 weeks. No. A week.
See, my thought was, I was like, oh my God, next week's a free week. And that's not the frame of mind I should have. It should be like, oh, hey, we could be like a week ahead.
Correct.
Will we be? Probably not.
That's going to require way too much work on my end to like, you know, actually plan. I don't know.
Listen, you also have way more going on than I do. You work full time. I do not.
You know, it's fine. It's still like, I still have time to do it. And I just choose to watch Netflix or read a book. So it's fine. It's great. It's going to be fine.
But yeah, so, you know, it's difficult to stay on top of it. Like, I always have good intentions to do that. And then, you know,
life. Yeah.
Life happens. Exactly. So, anyways, you guys, this week for our episode, I'm going to do something a little different.
I'm excited.
This is kind of different than what we've done before. It still kind of falls under our purview, but, so this takes place in Beatrice, Nebraska.
To be a hot spot here in Nebraska for us, all the things apparently.
I know. I was thinking about that and I was like, oh my God, like we've done Beatrice.
I just think it's ironic that, I mean, it shows that a lot of things can still happen in one single town.
I know, especially a small town, because what's funny, so we had the Beatrice 6 case, which was horrible, messed up. This is kind of on the opposite spectrum of that. So.
Oh, now I'm really intrigued. Okay.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to start with like a little game hint thing. because I just wanted to do something different. So I'm going to read a definition and you tell me what word you think it is describing. Okay.
I'm nervous now. Whew. Gotta get these right. Just kidding.
Wow. All right. A surprising and welcome event that is not explicable by natural or scientific laws and is therefore considered to be the work of a divine agency. I put you on the spot.
Yeah, you did. Read it again.
Okay.
Sorry.
A surprising and welcome event that is not explicable by natural or scientific laws and is therefore considered to be the work of a divine agency.
A miracle?
Yes! Good job!
Is it?
Yes!
Woo! Okay.
Yes, so here you are right. This is the definition of a miracle, which is what a lot of people believe this event was. A miracle.
Oh, okay.
Even
I just have this song in my head from Encanto now, the Waiting on a Miracle or whatever.
Oh my god, I love that.
I know.
I such love a Encanto movie. So much.
And I love that soundtrack. Okay. Clearly Same. Moms here when Disney songs are what come to mind. Wow. Okay.
So Snopes actually has an article about this as well, and they can't give a good explanation for this either. A little while later, I'll have a quote from them. So I did also watch an episode of Unsolved Mysteries, which, let me tell you what, was a pain to find. It's
was
on
it
Amazon Prime. It was an old one. And so like trying to find actual like episode numbers is so difficult. Oh. So this is like with Robert Stack. Okay.
Oh, so it's like old school. Yeah.
Old
that's
school.
Crazy. Man.
Yes.
Things are so easy now to just Google, but back then.
I know. So this is from season 2, episode 13. 1990 is when it aired. FYI.
Okay.
And it's funny too, actually, because the first story in that episode is another I was gonna cover for my Ohio story. And it's a little more well known, I think. I know there have been several other podcasts who have done it. It was like a disappearance unsolved, clearly, because it was Unsolved Mysteries.
I guess that's fair.
Disappearance. And I'm not going to go into it because I still will probably cover it eventually. But I just thought it was really weird that I just did Ohio and then I was doing this. And this case I came across, I found before finding the Unsolved Mysteries. And then they were both together. I was like, that's a weird little... Right?
Twilight Zone.
Yes. All right. So now I'm sure at this point everyone is like, okay, you bitches have been talking forever. First you rambled. And now what the hell are you talking about, Cassie? What is the story?
We do what we want.
So this week I am going to tell you the story about the Westside Baptist Church explosion and how the 12 members and a few of their children who would accompany them to the choir practice all ended up being late so that not a single person was killed in the explosion, where if it had been any other choir practice night, they all would have been there at the exact moment this church exploded.
What?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I like this already, where we're going.
Right. Like, it was just something I kind of came across this, you know, we've had some pretty heavy ones again. And I was like, okay, but I feel like I've been doing a lot of paranormal. The cryptids, I don't know. I was just trying to look for something a little different, not quite as heavy.
Yeah.
And I came across this. I will say it's a little bit shorter. This week's episode is going to be a little bit shorter. I was trying to find some other similar stories that maybe I could add into this, you know, do a multi-story one. I couldn't really find anything that was similar. But this one, I just had to share because it was so interesting to me.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't remember ever hearing about this, which, I mean, I've watched all the Unsolved Mysteries on repeat, so I've probably seen the episode before. But it's, like, it's just not one that I recalled hearing before.
And when you said this was 1990, or that's just when it aired?
That's when it aired. This explosion happened in 1950.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So okay, it's been a minute. It's been a minute.
Sure has.
So this church choir was run from 1920 to 1950 by Martha Paul. And by all accounts, she was a very punctual person, and she was very strict about people being punctual. Like, if they wanted to be in the choir, they had to be there on time. And everyone was arrive no later than 7:25 p.m. And everyone in the choir followed this rule. So, like, in Unsolved Mysteries, they interview some of the people from the choir, and they interview her daughter, who was actually in the choir too.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked about how, like, a lot of times, like, her and her mom would be there at, like, 7:15. You know, people were usually early, but no one would be there any later than 7:25 p.m. So let's talk about who was in this choir. So aside from Martha Paul, who was the choir leader, it included her daughter Marilyn Paul, who was 18, and she was the pianist. The pastor, Walter Klempel, and his wife, which I couldn't find her name, and their 18-month-old daughter. So they always brought their, not that she was in the choir, but, you know, they brought her.
Mm-hmm.
Herbert Kempf, Lucille Jones, who was also 18, sisters Rowena and Sadie Estes, LaDonna Vandergift, who was only 15, Joyce Black, Dorothy Wood, and Harvey Al, who was actually going to bring his two young sons this night. He normally doesn't, but his wife was out of town. We'll get into that a little bit more. And then Mrs. Leonard Schuster, and that's literally the only way I found her name referred to in anything.
Very 50s names, very old school too. And
yes,
that alone.
But, and yeah, to like only be referred to as your husband's, which,
oh yeah,
as a feminist in this day and age, I have a very hard time if someone addresses things to me as Mrs. Trevor.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm my own person. Thank you.
Yeah. No doubt.
So anyways, and she always brought her young daughter, Susan. I don't know how old she was. They showed a picture of her. She looked like she was probably a toddler.
Okay.
So now if you're looking up this case, it says lucky 15, which normally it would be just 15 in total. But on this night, since Harvey was planning on bringing his two sons as well, it would have been more. I think it would have been like 17 or so people total. So I don't know why, maybe just because they're not usually there, so they didn't include them.
Mm-hmm.
But these two kids avoided this as well. Whatever. So anyways, on Wednesday, March 1st of 1950, Pastor Walter lit the furnace at 4:30 so the church would be warm when choir practice started, as it was a bitterly cold day. Also funny that the two Beatrice cases I cover on both days of the accidents or whatever, it's extreme, like, crazy. The cold is mentioned.
Maybe people just go crazy in the cold. I mean,
there's something about Beatrice, like, don't be in Beatrice when it's bitterly cold, I guess.
I think that's just like a, I don't know. I'm sketched out. I don't have no reason to ever go there now just because of all of this.
So anyways, at 7:25 p.m. that night, an explosion rocked the town and knocked out all the power.
Jeez.
And in case you haven't guessed it, it was the West Side Baptist Church that exploded. So it was later determined that it was like a natural gas leak, like a pipe underneath the church or outside the church, like, filled the church with gas.
Jeez.
In that almost 3 hours from when the pastor left until 7:25. And it left nothing of the church behind except rubble. Except, like I said, not a single choir member was harmed. And you're probably thinking, okay, but how is this possible? Like, what happened? Especially since it happened the exact time that every choir member should have been there. Strangely, every single choir member that night, including Martha, who was such a stickler about promptness, was late, all for varying reasons.
That's so weird.
So that's where I want to quote Snopes, because they had this one quote that I found interesting. It says, quote, "It is impossible to calculate precise odds for all of these events occurring at once, but past performance indicated that each person would be late for practice 1 in 4, producing a 1 in 1,000,000 chance that the entire choir would be late that night."
Jeez.
So, like, it's too difficult to calculate the exact probability of every single person being late that night.
Right.
But it's pretty damn high.
Well, and that's several people. It's not even like it's just a couple people that had things. And I feel like that day and age, too, people were just more, I don't know, maybe not responsible as much. But, like, being on time was definitely, like, important. Like, people now, I feel like, don't care as much as maybe they did back then, but it was like a respect thing to show up on time, I feel like. So,
I mean, I personally have anxiety where if I'm not 15 minutes early for something, I get anxious.
Yeah. I mean, no, not me. It depends on what it is. Maybe more so now, but
there are some things where it's a little, but for the most part, especially if it's somewhere I've never been before, I'm super it'll give me anxiety. But let's talk about what happened to make every single person late. So we're going to start with the pastor and his family. And it was a simple matter of the fact that their 18-month-old daughter stained her dress. So her mom had to iron a new one. And thank goodness we don't live in those times now, because I don't even iron my own clothes.
I don't even own an iron.
I don't know if you still... I had one from like way back in the day when I lived in an apartment and I didn't have a dryer in my place, because now I just throw something in the dryer. Yeah, for sure. And I was working in like banks and stuff, so you had to have like nicer clothes and stuff.
Yeah.
But... And I sure as shit wouldn't have ever ironed my children's clothes when they were toddlers.
No, like, that's so funny.
Nowadays, too, no one would look twice at you showing up somewhere with your toddler in stained clothes, unless it was like something like... excessive.
Yeah.
But even nobody then
thinks about it. It's just normal.
No. And even then, like, it's 7:30 at night, so I would have just, if I was gonna change them, I would have just put them into pajamas. Yes. So when we got home, I could put them right down to bed.
Right.
But no, they had to iron a whole new dress because, you know, 1950s, even 18-month-olds.
Freaking glad they did too now.
Which, yes, know? In this instance, that it was crazy. A good thing. Wow. Yes.
I guess it pays off to, I don't know. Care about I don't even know what appearance. To call that. Yeah, like, I don't know.
I don't know.
My mom, when they're in town, she'll be like, do you have an iron? Because she wants to iron something. I'm like, what? Who? No, I don't have that. Hang it in the bathroom and turn the shower on. Like, I don't know.
Steam it. Throw it in the dryer with a wet washcloth.
Yeah. So funny. We just don't care these days. Like, nah.
No. I don't want to have to iron something.
No. That's asking way too much.
So then next we have Martha and her daughter Marilyn. And they were late because Marilyn fell asleep and Martha could not wake her up.
Interesting.
Yeah. In the Unsolved Mysteries episode, Marilyn talks about how she was just especially tired that evening and figured a short little nap couldn't hurt. She's like, I'll just take like a 15-minute nap after dinner. It'll be fine. But that turned into a 30-plus minute nap, causing them both to be late. And actually, Marilyn had originally planned on trying to be at the church by 7 o'clock.
Oh.
So, like, when they woke up, they had just enough time for her to, like, kind of get her stuff and for them to go. Like, they just could not wake her up.
Hmm.
So then there was Herbert Kempf, who was writing a letter. And I guess in the show, they were talking about how it was something for the church or whatever. And his mom was even like, hey, like, you're going to be late. And he was like, I know, but he's like... This letter just felt so important. Like, I had to get it out that night. He was like, so he had to finish this letter and put it in the mail on his way to choir practice.
Weird.
So that's why he was late.
Hmm.
So now Lucille Jones, who was one of the 18-year-olds, was late because she randomly decided to listen to the radio show This Is Your Life and just couldn't bring herself to leave before it finished. And this is actually why Dorothy Wood was also late, because she always rode with Lucille. They were neighbors. And I'm not sure how old Dorothy was. The news article I found just states that they were both in high school. So I assume maybe close to the same age, if she wasn't 18, you know, around that same age. But Lucille was interviewed too. And she was like, I normally didn't listen to it. But that night, like, I turned it on and I couldn't walk away from it. And it's, again, 1950, like...
Right.
They listened to radio shows.
That was their entertainment.
Uh-huh. Which, if you think about it, isn't much different than, like...
Than a podcast?
A podcast or audiobooks.
Correct.
Except they had, like, multiple voices, which some audiobooks have a full cast narration as well, so...
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting. So it then we have LaDonna Vandergift. She was the 15-year-old... And she was struggling with a geometry problem and was trying to finish it before she left.
I feel that. I hate that crap. No.
And this actually led to the Estes sisters, Rowena and Sadie, being late because they were ready to go, but their car wouldn't start. So LaDonna said she'd give them a ride, which, again, 1950, we have a 15-year-old driving, like...
Right.
I know, but like you're, which technically these were probably adult, but still, it's funny.
Yeah. Like it wasn't even a thing. Just,
yeah.
Go ahead. So, doesn't matter how old you are.
Yep. There, these three women are late because LaDonna had to work on a math problem. And then Harvey O was late because he got to talking with someone and simply lost track of time. That was it. And Mrs. Leonard Schuster, who normally arrived at 7:20 with her daughter Susan, had to stop by her mother's house first to help her get ready for a missionary meeting.
Wow.
And yeah, like all of these things. And so then there's the final one, which I find to be the most interesting, was Joyce Black, because she actually lived literally right across the street from the church. And in the Unsolved Mysteries episode, they interview her and she's like, I was just feeling particularly lazy that night. She's like, it was cold out and I was just so cozy in my house. So normally, I mean, she lives right there. It's not hard for her to be early or on time. She's like, so I waited until the last possible moment to leave my house. And actually, as she was closing her door is when the church exploded in front of her. Hey Dark Hearts, just wanted to take a moment to tell you about She's Birdie. What this is a small device that can give you a little bit of peace of mind whether you're out walking, working late, or whatever it might be. The Birdie is a small device that can easily be on your keychain, your belt loop, your purse, or held in your hand. The original Birdie is just a loud alarm with a flashing light to help draw attention to you if you're feeling uncomfortable or you're in a situation where you need help or attention. Now they offer the Birdie Plus. Same device, except it doesn't have the flashing light. Instead, it comes with an app that gives you 24/7 access to live representatives who can talk with you while you're walking to your car or wherever you might be you feel uncomfortable, or they can even send first responders to your location, as well as sharing your GPS location with two emergency contacts and giving you an excuse call if you're in a situation where you feel uncomfortable and aren't sure how to get away. Now, what's nice about the Birdies is that it's something that you can use discreetly to call the live representatives. You just press the buttons twice. If you want an excuse call, you just tap it once and you'll get an automated call that'll help give you an excuse to get away from whatever situation you're in. Now, if you hold the button, this is what sends your location to your two emergency contacts. The original Birdie is $29.95 and the Birdie Plus is $39.95, and then you do need a subscription with that, which is $8.99 a month, or you can do the annual subscription of $89.99, saving you 20%. But if you use our code DARKHEARTS15, you'll get 15% off your Birdie as well. This is something that we love, we have for ourselves as well, just with the type of stuff that we're into, the true crime. We're clearly more aware of our surroundings. We are a little more cautious at times, and this can just give us a peace of mind. It's also great if you have teenagers who are out now, working later, school activities, to give you peace of mind about their safety as well. So again, their site is SHESBIRDIE.com, and if you use our code DARKHEARTS15, you'll get 15% off your order today. So stay Heartland kind, but Darkland wary, and have that Birdie with you to make sure you stay safe.
So when it exploded too, I mean, explosions aren't like small. I mean, I'm assuming things flew quite a distance. So it's not like people, if they got there early, they were just waiting to go in or like.
Right? And they probably, small town, 1950, the church probably wasn't locked. So they would have just walked right in.
So it's, they all could have potentially gone in and been there.
Yes.
Whether they were leading it. Okay.
Yeah. And so I'm not sure when it says that her house was right across the street, like there still could have been some distance, you know, small town, but she does talk about how she saw their sheet music and their songbooks flying everywhere. Oh, and one actually landed in front of her, like a book. And it sounds like it was like mostly unscathed. So she kept it. She's like, I figured no one would care. I'm like,
that's still from your church.
But I mean,
yeah. Wow.
But no, but I mean, can you imagine, like, here she is. She watches this happen.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So, like I said, the whole town lost power. Like, this was a huge explosion. There was nothing left of the church except debris. And shortly after it happened, that's when other choir members were showing up. And at first, they assumed there were other people inside. So they're like, we have to go in. We have to help them. But as everyone starts arriving, they soon realize that not a single person was inside at the time of the explosion. So can you imagine being one of the first few people to arrive, thinking you're late? Everyone, you know, you're probably one of the only people to be late. And all of these people are inside this church and seeing it demolished. So, I mean, of course, it's a church group. They believe God was intervening and protecting them all. You know, if you're not religious and you're listening to this, I mean, take whatever. Some sort of higher power, divine intervention, something, you know. And like I said, whether you believe in a higher power or not, I think based on the definition alone of miracle, everyone should be able to agree this was a miracle. Like, that is just, I don't even know how you explain that. Like you said, the odds were so high for every single person to be late on that same night. Also, I wanted to share a little tidbit about, and this is pointless, but I thought it was fun. So if you watch the episode of Unsolved Mysteries, they show a church exploding. And let me tell you, Michael Bay would have been proud of this explosion, okay? It's ridiculous, and it's one of those things, you have it from every angle. You know, they show it, and then they show it again from another side. It's fantastic. So it turns out there was a church in Unadilla, Nebraska? Unadilla, Nebraska?
Like Quesadilla, never... huh?
No. Right? I know. I
That's like... what I heard.
So that was slated for demolition. And the producers planned to blow it up. So they flew special effects experts to the site and surrounded the church with 5 cameras framed by plywood boxes that would protect the gear and cameramen. Right? So here's a quote. It says, we were supposed to cave in the roof and we framed the shot slightly above the roof, Rosenfeld, who directed the segment, recalled. The special effects guy blew it up way bigger than we expected. A fireball went into the air, probably a quarter mile. We were all scared.
Whoops.
Yep. The explosion used 95 sticks of dynamite and 3 10-gallon tubs of gasoline. Jeez. With debris raining down for 20 minutes.
Ew.
And shrapnel also speared the plywood boxes around the cameras and their operators.
Wow.
So it's like, okay, you guys almost caused another tragedy just for this reenactment.
Was that worth it, guys? Really?
Right. Also, why did we need so much explosives?
Right. I think
for a church, because this church did not look very big. It seems like someone, maybe a little bit of a pyromaniac.
Yeah.
So that's crazy. Where I'm like, Michael Bay would have been very proud of this explosion.
Someone was trying to add something to the resume, sounds like.
Maybe the special effects person was Michael Bay. Was he making movies in the 90s? I don't know.
Who knows? Maybe that's where he started.
Yeah. So you guys, like I said, I know this week's is kind of a short one, but that's the story of the Midwest Miracle, which is what I'm calling this episode.
What did they even chalk it up to be? Just something, you said something leaking with the gas? Or...
So the explosion happened because of a natural gas leak.
Okay, that's
right. You know, all of the church, you know, choir members prayed and stuff like that, were thanking God. And I mean, no one can explain why every single person who's normally on time was late that night. And like I said, it was just, I knew it was, this week was going to be a shorter episode. So sorry, you guys, if you like those longer ones. But this was just so interesting. I had to share it. And I was like, okay, if we had our Patreon going, this could totally have just been like a small, like bonus. Patreon bonus episode. But I just really want, like, it just really called to me to share it. And I was like, I was trying to find other things. And I was just like, I really want to share this episode. And that's where I was like, okay, can I find something else to go along with this episode? But
I think it's something like I never had heard of that. And that is insane. And I like hearing those kind of stories. So
yeah,
that is crazy. So nobody that lived nearby got hurt. Nobody at all.
I didn't hear about anyone being hurt. Like, it just sounds like, I mean, probably some like home damage, like windows being blown out a bit or something, whole town losing power, but no one in this town was injured. And these 15, 17 people should have died that night.
Yeah. I literally just Googled, I started putting church explosion in Beatrice, Nebraska, popped right up. So clearly, that's a thing. And that's crazy because I have never heard of it. So
same. And like cool. I said, I probably saw. I mean, no one was injured. So it is, I mean, it is cool. And you guys, I know so many of you have shared. I was actually looking through some of our listener suggestions. Mm-hmm. I was going to share some, but again, like they're so dark. Like, a lot of them are just heavy or unsolved. We've been doing a lot of unsolved lately too. And those are important without a doubt, but I know not everyone likes the unsolved stories because people like, I need closure.
Yep.
So that's why we're just going to change it up a little bit this week. You know, I think when this airs, this will be our last September episode, and then we're hitting October. Real spooky season. I know we've got some ideas for our first few episodes. Let me tell you what, you guys, our last 2 weeks in October, should we tell them what we're doing? Should we just let them know now?
I mean, it's up to you. I don't care. Sure.
So I know a lot of our Nebraska listeners have been asking us to cover the Villisca House, which is in Iowa. And so we are doing a two-parter on that. Shannon is going to cover the actual crimes that happened in that house in the first week. And then I will be covering the paranormal side of things in that house. So
it's a doozy. It's a good one.
Yes. Yes. I mean, so at least, you know, we're pre-planned for that. The first 2 weeks, we've got some ideas, but we need to discuss a little bit more, figure things out.
It's fine. It's going to be great.
It'll be fine. So yeah, you guys, thanks for joining us. Like I said, we'll probably go back to like the closer to an hour episodes, you know, coming soon, but just wanted to share it. It's a different one. In a way, it's like an I Survived, you know?
Yeah, like, totally. And it's like one of those things, you can't explain it. And that's, I like that. That was crazy.
Yeah, so that, you know, because that's one of our things we talk about, where murders, mysteries, the unexplained. This is an unexplained. Like, that was just that was a fun one to cover, you know? And it was just so interesting to see these. And I've got, when I post, I've got pictures of like the church before and after, and I think they rebuilt it. I don't know if it was in the exact same spot and stuff, but they eventually rebuilt it and stuff. So yeah, just real interesting.
It makes you wonder too, if like the guy that went to turn on the heat or whatever ahead of time, like, what if he would have turned it on 5 minutes later? You know what I mean? Like, it makes you wonder. Like, if it was going to happen regardless based on whatever, or, you know, like, the timing, like, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, so many things that, like, slight changes, this could have been a completely different story.
Gosh.
So, you guys, do you have, like, an experience like this? Like, for some reason, you changed a normal routine and like something happened, like, again, like, that can be added into, if you're gonna send us stories, like, we want to hear this, you know, like,
did you escape something crazy, or
even just weird things, you know, like, I mean, this isn't quite the same, but when I was 18, I got into a car accident on the interstate heading back home. I still lived in my small town then, and I was taking night classes at Southeast Community College in Lincoln, and I rear-ended a car on the interstate because, like, they didn't have brake lights on. There was a semi pulled over. and they were gawking. So I tried to go into the grass, the median. Uh-huh. I was in the left-hand lane, but I still clipped them and I spun a bit and I was on the shoulder. But I drive without my shoes on. Okay. So I bent down to grab my shoe and my phone, which had fallen. Mm-hmm. And I'm standing outside my car door, the passenger door or my driver's side door is open, and I'm reaching, and all of a sudden I hear a screech and I just instinctively jump away from my car. My car gets hit, the door slams shut and gets pushed several feet away. If that hadn't happened, if I hadn't heard that or reacted, my legs, I don't know that I would still have legs, because the way I was standing and the way my car got pushed, they would have been hit, and then my from my knees down would have been pulled underneath my car. I could have been pulled underneath my car. Ugh. So many different situations like could have happened in that moment. And I thankfully was uninjured from that event. Aside from having a little bit of like, I couldn't drive on the interstate for like a year.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That was rough. But like if that other car's tires hadn't screeched,
yeah,
I would have been hit, you know? And like, that's it so was crazy. Just terrifying. Ugh. Yeah, that was, ugh. So, you know, what do you guys have? Something like ugh, that, yeah. Anything.
That's email creepy. Us at it Heartland. Just makes me think of like, go ahead. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
You no, can no, go you're ahead. Good. We'll set.
Share I was going to say, you know, yeah, the, oh gosh. Final Destination. There you go.
Yes.
The second one with the thing on the back, the log or whatever.
Was like, that in the I second
still
one?
Am yeah. traumatized no, I still by that. Can't. Yep. Yes. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, if I'm driving and I see something like that, I'm like, okay, moving out of the way, because I just yeah. think
the logs, the poles, anything like that. Ate it.
Yes. No. Nope. That's just what that makes me think of, and I don't like it.
No. No, not at all. Hate
Why
it.
Why don't we have like flying cars yet? You know? Come on.
You know, right? I'm pretty sure the Jetsons was in this time frame and they had flying yes. cars and live in space.
Yeah. Can we do that? I would love to live in space and not be by people. It's just kidding. I like people sometimes, certain people, but
I really am not a people person. But
yeah. I mean, sometimes it's just like too much peopling, you know?
Yes.
Oh,
you guys email like, us at heartland.darklandpodcast@gmail.com with any of your stories, suggestions. Like I said, please don't be discouraged if you're like, okay, I emailed you guys forever or messaged you forever about these stories, like the Nebraska stories. Like, we're not going anywhere, you guys. We plan on doing this for a hot minute, so we'll get to them. But Nebraska has so many stories, and yeah. sometimes too, like for our, like I said, even like for my own mental well-being, I was like, it's been heavy. I need something a little lighter, you know, mm-hmm. something a little different. So yeah. I promise you, like, don't feel discouraged. Like, keep giving us ideas. We want to hear them. I promise you, we appreciate them. It just sometimes like just based on like what we're feeling, how, you know, we need to make sure we're also keeping track of our own mental health well-being. This is
yeah. I had a friend ask me the other day if it gets really like takes a toll, and I was like, yeah, absolutely. Like, you don't realize it, I mean, at the time, but like it really stays with you, and the more you read it and stuff, it is heavy. And I can totally see a change in my mood sometimes when I've been doing yes. a lot of this stuff. So
yes. Yeah. So that's where sometimes you just switch it up. That's why I like to do the paranormal, the cryptids, UFOs, that fun stuff too, you know? So yeah, like sometimes we just have to change it up. That's where like those I Survived stories, you know, are great too. Like, yeah. So give us those suggestions as well, you guys. And you know,
yeah. I mean,
rate and review if you can. We'd really, really appreciate it. It means so much to us. Follow us. TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I think that's all the social media things.
Yeah, if you think your friends, yeah. family would like this.
Yeah, if you have anyone you think would enjoy this, share it. Let them know the audio gets better from those first few episodes.
Yeah, we've come a long ways since then.
We have. Yeah. So thank you guys so much for being here this week. Until next time, stay Heartland kind.
But Darkland wary.